I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. This is the last message, God willing, I'll give in this series of messages on expressions of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll begin with verse 1. Before I read the Word of God, I just feel compelled to tell you, I had a dream last night. I dream often, so that's not an unusual thing. I had a dream last night. I was at the Highland Park Baptist Church years ago, and Dr. Lee Robertson was preaching, and Dr. J.R. Faulkner was leading the singing. I haven't dreamed that way, anything like that, and I can't remember. And it was the most glorious thing, most wonderful worship service. And people were singing like angels. Dr. Faulkner was leading them like he did years ago. For over 40 years, I was right there in the middle of it, just sitting there. They both said hello to me. They're in heaven now. And I was so blessed, I didn't want to wake up. And when I did finally wake up, I told Evelyn, I said, I've been in church at Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, when it was in its zenith and glory. And the place was filled, and God was blessing, and people were singing, and Dr. Robertson was preaching. And I tell you, it was glorious. And I just thought again, after all that was over, I had to sit on the side of the bed and sort of, I guess, process all that. I thought again, well, that was all over. It's where people can worship God on the Lord's Day and have their souls refreshed, and meet the Lord and praise the Lord, that people are most blessed in this world. I hope you understand that. And where churches are turning into entertainment centers with a few people participating and the rest of the people spectating, I think it's the greatest tragedy I can imagine. Truly it is. And so I hope you never get there, never desire such a thing, never want such a thing. It's always about the Lord and about His Word, about singing praise to Him. That's where it ought to be, isn't it? May God guide us and help us. Now, I'm bringing the last message coming in for a landing on this. The two difficult things in life, in any process of things, one is beginning and the one is ending it. You think you're going to never get it off the ground, and then you've got to figure out how to land it. So may God guide us and help us here. And I appreciate you being patient with me. Let's pray together, may we? Our Father, we give Thee this time, this moment. Bring about what will please Thee and glorify Thee. In the name of Jesus Christ and for His glory we pray. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, I have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is charity. I've been dealing with expressions of love. Many times people think the idea is to say to someone, I love you. Or maybe some other expression that involves words. But here God teaches us in the 13th chapter of the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that charity is demonstrated. It's on display. Love displays itself. So if we think we're getting the job done in love by just expressing words, God says no. The real expressions of love are in deeds. And here God gives us these deeds, these verbs, these actions God gives us. Now we've worked our way through the entire chapter to this particular place, to verse 6. And I want to pick it up here at verse 6. I want to tell you before we begin that when all of this is done, when every expression of love is given, we have a beautiful portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in our life and what Christ is doing. I want you to hold your place here before we begin and turn with me, please, to the book of Galatians. And in Galatians, God gives us this precious word in the 4th chapter. If you have your Bible, open to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Listen carefully. The Bible says, my little children of whom I travail in birth again. I'm going through the birthing pains again. First time for your salvation. But here I'm going through the birthing pains again. I travail again until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed in you. That expression I want you to take the time to mark. Until Christ be formed in you. If you say, I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I've asked God to forgive my sin and by faith I've trusted Christ. I know I've been born again. That's my testimony. If somebody quizzed me on the subject of salvation, I could give a clear, solid answer that I've been born again. That's been taken care of. I hope all of you have that testimony. But I ask, why were you born again? What has God saved you for? And so many people who say they're Christians have fallen short of God's purpose in their lives. So many people. God hasn't saved you so you can run around saying, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. I'm glad you can say it, but that's the weakest thing you could possibly do. He wants you to demonstrate your Christian life. And we want to know how we can demonstrate that until Christ is formed in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible says in the 8th chapter of Romans, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. If the Lord doesn't live in you, you've never been born again and you're not His. Are you His? Have you been saved? That means He lives in you. But notice here, He says not just to live in you. In this passage in Galatians, He tells us in the 4th chapter, until Christ be formed in you. Christ is in you and formed in you. People look at you, watch you, listen to you, see you behave, and they say, that man is a Christian. That woman is a Christian. I see Christ in that person. And so when they see Christ in you, what is it they see? And I say to you, it's the expressions of love we find here in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. That's what they see in us. We could say and say honestly, I suffer long, I am kind, I envieth not, I vaunteth not myself, I am not puffed up, I do not behave myself unseemly, I do not seek my own, I am not easily provoked, I think of no evil. And then we say, I rejoice not in iniquity. Never happy to see wrong. Never excited about seeing unrighteousness. Never delight in someone's fall or mistake or something that happens bad in someone's life. That's not a part of me. I remember talking to a man one time about the fall of a preacher. And this particular preacher who was talking to me didn't like the preacher he was talking about. And he talked about the fall of a preacher and the fall of a preacher's son. I remember the conversation as if it happened this morning, this very day. And he was talking with delight and enthusiasm about what this man had done wrong and what his son had done wrong. I said very little when I finished hearing him. I got off the phone as quickly as possible. I sat down and I said, I can tell so much about his Christian life and so much about my Christian life by our response to what I just heard. And the Word of God says the Christ-like behavior is to never rejoice in iniquity. So when you're taking the test of whether Christ has been formed in you, and I'm taking the test of whether Christ has been formed in me, or I say I'm a Christian, when you have one of those occasions to hear about something that's gone wrong in someone's life, some mess up, remember that if it's happened in the life of a child of God, they brought great reproach to the name of Jesus. We never rejoice in that. Never. But the Word of God says, but rejoicing not iniquity, but rejoicing in the truth. The greatest thing we have is the truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The book of Colossians tells us that God is before all things, so all truth proceeds from him. And so what is the truth? The only way you can answer with a good conscience toward God or men, the only way you can answer with a good conscience is to love the truth and rejoice in the truth. Become a person who rejoices in the truth. That's an expression of love. And then the Word of God says, beareth all things. Beareth all things. Now, these next expressions give so much clarity to the behavior of Jesus Christ. I want you to hold your place just a moment and turn with me to what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus in the book of 1 Peter. If you have your Bible open to the second chapter, the Word of God says in verse 23, describing the behavior of the Lord Jesus, which is how his children ought to behave. The Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. The Word of God says the Christian who's had Christ formed in him, the Christian who is expressing the love of Christ. And remember, this is a love that can only come from Christ. It can come only as a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're not capable of doing this ourselves. You say, I want to try to get myself in the situation where I can behave this way. You can't do it without the Lord. It's a supernatural thing that God works in your life to do. To rejoice in others' successes, to rejoice in truth, to rejoice not in iniquity. And then to bear all things. How many times have we said, I'm not putting up with that. I'm not putting up with that. Or we've said of someone, I'm just tired of their behavior. They drive me nuts. And someone else is controlling your life. Someone you don't like, or someone's behavior you don't like. It may be a family member, a business associate, a church member, a friend. But you said, I'm at the end of my rope. I want you to know you're not near at the end of it. And neither am I when we say things like that. The true Christian in behavior beareth all things, believeth all things, believeth all things. Now, our faith is anchored in the Lord. Just like Paul said when he wrote to his son in the ministry, Timothy, let me read this to you. The word of God says, Paul said, for which cause, verse 12 of first chapter of 2 Timothy, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which is I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, my belief system is in the Lord. I've settled in my faith. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and God's eternal word. I'm anchored this way. My faith is anchored in the Lord. No doubt about it. And that enables me to see the best in others, to try to cover the fault of others instead of constantly complaining and constantly being torn up about things. I wish I could get closer to Christ in this one matter, believing I'm going to turn out the best he does, believing that I'm going to make it, believing that I'm going to do the right thing. Patience with me. Expressions of love. And the word of God says, hopeth all things. Well, I've given up on some people. I've given up on him or her. Finished with them. That's not the behavior of a Christian. But it is the behavior of most people who profess to be Christians. I say, this expression of love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may God help us. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's it. I've had it. No more for me. I'm not doing another thing. I'm not appreciated. Nobody knows what I do anyway. So we're living for them, not him. So our eyes are on their behavior, and we're ruled by it, not his faithfulness. I have always thought, since I became a Christian, that there's more and more to the Christian life than I discovered. More and more to Christ, more and more to Christ and of Christ. And the Word of God says, one of the expressions of my love is I endure all things. How many times have you heard yourself giving up on someone? Finished. Maybe you don't really mean it, but that's what you're projecting in your behavior, and me and mine. Oh, may God help us when we have tried to express love, and the love being the love of Christ, enduring all things. And the Word of God says, charity never faileth. Never faileth. I want you to listen to this passage and think about that expression. Let's say that together. Love never faileth. Let's say it just that way. Love never faileth. And I want you to listen from the 8th chapter of Romans to this verse. The Word of God says in verses 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Aren't you thankful to God? You hear that from Christ? We hear that from the Lord. And we're called on to hear that from the Lord's people and the Lord's children. The Lord's children. The Lord's children. Death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, which enables us to love people beyond what we can imagine loving people. Someone should be thinking, I didn't know you could love me with that depth of love, with that kind of patience, with that kind of endurance. I didn't know you could love me the way you love me. Those are expressions of love. You see, more than saying, I love you, when you've got something to deal with, you endure it. You put up with it. You patiently bear it. You and I still hope in the midst of it. Some of you are dealing with children that are difficult, and you love them. Prove it. You say you love them. Prove it. Prove it by staying hopeful that they're going to come out right, that God is going to work it all out, and that you've covered their transgression, you in your love. In other words, you don't love them because of their behavior or lose love because of their behavior. You love them in spite of their behavior, just like the Lord has loved us with an everlasting love. That's what God's called on us to do. The great crisis we face in life is not just being born again and knowing that we've missed hell and gained heaven. The great crisis we face in life is to express the love of God that we've received from God. And that's a difficult thing. It is difficult. And the Lord concludes it in this chapter. I want you to listen. May the Lord Jesus help me in this 13th chapter as we come to these words in the closing part of it. He said, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Not fail, but cease. Their time is over. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Think of the words God uses. But when that which is perfect is come, now, I believe this to be about heaven. That which is perfect is come. Then that which is in part shall be done away. Heaven, we're going to see perfection and no perfection. And may God help us to keep our hope. The Word of God says, when I was a child, he's using an illustration here. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. This is about maturity. This is about moving forward in life. And notice, please, our speech changes from childhood to adulthood. Our understanding changes from childhood to adulthood. Our thinking changes from childhood to adulthood. As I grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, my speech will change. As I grow in the Lord and Christ is formed in me, my understanding will change. As I grow in the Lord and have these expressions of love demonstrated in my life, my thought life will change. Because I understand, now we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face, Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love, these three. But the greatest of these is love, or charity. I thank God for faith, but someday my faith will turn into sight. I'll see Jesus face to face. I thank God for hope. Peter said that his hope was begotten again. He didn't lose his faith, but he lost his hope. He said, I just couldn't hope anymore. To live a hopeful life, stay hopeful. Stay hopeful, because as long as there's life, there's hope. God is able to do amazing things beyond what we could even imagine. But someday we'll see him face to face. But love will last forever. Forever. Oh, praise God for that. So, the greatest of these is love. And I say to you and to myself, as I have read through this and meditated upon it, I want to behave like a Christian. I don't want to stay bad at people because of what Christ has done for me. I don't want to return to people what they've given to me when they haven't done the right thing, because that's not Christ-like at all. I want to have a grateful heart. And most all people that I know, most all people that I work with are kind and loving and kind to me. I don't want to take that for granted. And I believe that some of you want to live that kind of life. I hope all of you do. You remember when we started? We started with verse 31 of chapter 12. Look at it, please. The Word of God says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. There is a way we live, and there is a more excellent way. All of us should desire to live the more excellent way. And when we live the more excellent way, by God's grace, this is what we'll say. As I began a moment ago, I suffereth long. I'm kind. I envieth not. God's been good to me. I vaunteth not myself. I'm not trying to jump out in front. I'm not puffed up. I've got nothing to be puffed up about. It's all God's grace. I do not behave myself unseemly. I do what is comely. I do what is appropriate. I exercise propriety in life. Especially careful in sexual matters, we found out. I seeketh not my own. God promised he'd take care of me. I'm not easily provoked. I know nothing after 50 years in the ministry. I know nothing that causes more trouble than anger and getting provoked, saying and doing things that don't need to be said. I don't know any expression in the human life that is more distant from Christ than this one thing. And I don't know anything that I'm more ashamed of than the overreacting that I've done. Thinketh no evil. That's planning it. Having in your mind to get back at them, to get even with them. I think no evil. When I hear something bad's gone wrong, I'm not going to rejoice in it. I'm rejoicing in the truth. When I think I can't hold up anymore, can't do anything else, I bear all things. I believe all things. I hope all things. I endure all things. And may God help me that my love never fails. Let's bow in prayer together, may we?